Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. The Let's Get Busy podcast is produced in part by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com. Welcome to Let's Get Busy, a weekly podcast where I talk shop and get down to business with authors, illustrators, award winners, up-and-comers, and everyone in between. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 196 of the podcast with Lizzie Boyd, author and illustrator, most recently of Big Bear, Little Chair, published by Chronicle Books. Lizzie returns to the podcast after after publishing Flashlight most recently, and it is so nice to have her back on talking about inspiration and how she approaches storytelling, and in this case, the role of the editor in the process of writing a children's book. It is a wonderful conversation. Lizzie is always exceptional company, and this is such a special conversation. I'm excited for you to hear it, as well as for you to check out her brand new book. It's wonderful. Oh, and go online and see some of the really amazing classroom artwork that was created by students based on the picture book Flashlight. It's amazing what people have been doing, and as well for Inside Outside. I can't wait to see what people end up doing, what all of you end up doing with Big Bear, Little Chair. It's going to be amazing. I just know it. Anyway, here is episode number 196 of the podcast with Lizzie Boyd. Let's get busy. Welcome back to the Let's Get Busy podcast, Lizzie Boyd. I am so grateful to have you back, friend.
Well, it's great to be with you again. I love your podcast. Oh. They're fabulous.
Well, I love your books, and it is a great honor to ever get a chance to get to talk to you about new stuff. So when Laura Starr over at Chronicle mentioned that you had a new one coming out, I was all over that.
It's great. Yeah.
Oh, and this time, not only do you not have a bunch of holes cut in your book, but you're playing with such sparse text in such a beautifully like graphic representation, Lizzie. I love this aesthetic that you established in Big Bear, Little Chair. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, it was influenced by... Right near me is Dartmouth College, and they have a book arts department, a letterpress at the bottom of their library. It's been going for about 100 years, and it's all been jazzed up again. It went to sleep for about 30 years there, and it's now back in action. And when the classes fill up, when the classes have spaces, then you can just take a class. So that's a little what
so you've been
inspired.
Hopping on?
Yeah, well, that's a little bit what inspired Big Bear, Little Chair is that I took a class on accordion bookmaking and folding. And so initially, Big Bear, Little Chair was a folded accordion book in a slipcase. Two things librarians don't like.
No, but you've kept this. You have this accordion book somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. We have, I think, in our collection, I think we have one book that is an accordion style book in a slipcase. I couldn't even tell you the title of it, but I know that it tells one story going forward, and and flips it in another, which is, it's a beautiful format for kids to see, but you're right. Any sort of special formatted books, especially pop-up books, just get destroyed the very first read.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea. I mean, I take these classes every once in a while and I learn something and it pushes my brain in another direction, which is how Big Bear, Little Chair even came to be. Because pushed my brain someplace I had never been.
Is that sort of the whole class was focusing on these accordion style books, so everyone there was thinking of storytelling in that way?
No, nobody was storytelling. Mostly these are students, and so they're just learning how to do this to make a journal or you know, so it's more learning a new material for me or a technique. And it's good to change. I do that anyways in my studio. Work on some kind of paper I've never used or some paints I've never used or go and draw sheep or, you know what I mean? So
I'm sorry. That was an outlier in that list of things.
That's right. Well, there is a farm up the road. So sometimes I take a giant clipboard and I just go up there and sit in the meadow and draw whoever lives up there.
Well, that's neat that you continue to play around with that format, because in this being your third most recent, you continue to do that in Flashlight, to have, as we talked about, that through line in the pieces of cut paper in there was a really sort of fun way to follow the light and discover things. And I thought that was really playful to also see things just in outline at nighttime, and then to play with what it looks like when the flashlight shines on it. And Inside Outside, that book is just mind bendy. that feels like another wonderful, every time you flip the page, I mean, it's almost like I don't even know where to go with that. Just every time you flipped the page, I could see it even just animated that way, that whenever we flip the page, it just, we're inside the story and out, and just going in what felt like a 3D space, and yet it is absolutely just a flat book.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I love that you're a person that is one of these lifelong learners that challenges yourself and wants to just, I don't know, fill that need of trying something new.
Well, the funny thing is, when you asked for me to be on the podcast, I have this habit of, okay, I'm going to write up a couple of pages of notes so I can think about how I got the idea, why it came to me.
You're so prepared, Lizzie. I'm impressed.
Well, no, it's just you don't really have a reason to slow down and sort of outline yourself unless you're going to do something like this. And so it's very helpful. I mean, it's very helpful because you wouldn't stop and go way backwards.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So we have this little old lady neighbor, and she wears a kerchief tied under her chin. She's in her late 80s, and she wears rubber boots, and she has a little tiny, like, Waldorf shovel and a rake and a hoe, like those little metal ones that are colored.
Yeah.
And she goes outside, and she's banging on the ice with that little shovel. And so I didn't even think about her until I was writing this thing up, these notes up for you. I was like, of course, stick grandmother. I see her every day doing something with a small tool, totally out of scale. I mean, this big little tiny thing is all around me.
Well, and that sets up what this book is so perfectly, that it's all, I heard it described as unexpected opposites, and I don't think I can find a better term for it. That it's not a book of opposites per se, like black, white, day, night, but rather it's looking at, I mean, I was telling my wife that one of the things I valued so much in this is that it's pushing that skill of just observing and looking at what are the things that are big in what we're observing and what are small and how do they fit together to tell a different story. And so you have, like, my favorite spread is the, let me flip over here, is Little Butterfly, Big Rock, because that just looks so striking to me. It looks like this mountain that this butterfly is in front of. But it's that. We're not comparing a rock and a butterfly, other than these are two things that are different sizes. And they go together because we see them together. Your other ones, they go together just because they do, like Big Lion, Little Wagon. I'm looking at that picture going, there's an entire story of this wagon, of this massive lion just sitting in a tiny, tiny wagon. It's just fun to look at. And so that playfulness that you've tapped into here, it's just, it's really joyful and it's celebratory. And I think it's exactly what the intended audience here, these children, these young, especially, I'm reading it, I told you, with a 6-month-old and a 5-year-old. And how perfect could this be that my 6-month-old, my daughter, is just gazing at the black on white here with the red pops. It's perfect for that. These are the colors she's seeing. The first colors she probably ever could see, if I, you know, remember my developmental science studies well enough. But then my child, my 5-year-old, to see in kindergarten, to have these conversations of, or what's big, what's little, what's tiny, and just be looking at how stuff fits together. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it other than you just clearly you are not fully an adult making a book like this. You are able to tap into that childlike view of the world, and that is awesome.
Well, because they're little minds. I mean, I was in a restaurant and there was this little girl, Savannah, and she was tearing around. She was about 22 months old, and she was tearing around, and I realized that everything she was doing was completely random, but it all went together for her. I mean, she was putting something in my lap. I was a total stranger. Then she was going here. Then she was having a little chocolate mousse. Then she was insisting on taking the rabbit off the shelf. I mean, she just was so busy, and it was all part of a story for her.
Wow.
Yeah?
It all fit together. Gosh, man, think of children that way, where as random as we think it is and as winding as it is, it is all part of the same story. You are absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, something was going on for her. I don't know what it was, but, and I was part of it, but it was wonderful to watch.
Yay, because you just got to be a part. You were a part of the story.
That's right.
That involved running around and chocolate mousse and whatever else.
Yeah.
And Lizzie Boyd.
Yeah.
Oh, well, to be able to observe that and then channel it into a picture book, I guess what I marvel at too is that these pairings, these groupings that you made feel, they just feel natural. They feel like stories. It feels like we could sit and just ponder a story of a lion in a little wagon and how he got there and what does that mean and where is he going next? And that's, I think, where I see how much this book kept giving and giving back, was just that time to ponder on this. And you've created interesting illustrations. So it almost begs for me to not turn the page, but to just sit there and let's take this all in.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's like the other two books in a way, because it's storytelling again, but it's even pushing it further out.
Yeah, and you know, it's definitely pushing it further out, pushing it beyond.
Yeah, I mean,
beyond the responsibility of the person reading the book.
That's right.
To give it back to the child that we're sharing it with
to be
part of it. That's sort of what I love so much about it. I mean, when we were saying, I believe last time we were talking about how, you know, one of the fun things about reading Flashlight, being that it has no words, is that part of the story, you made the story, Lizzie, but the way the story goes is also my responsibility too, and the child's responsibility to tell the story. And in this, it's going even further. You're sort of giving us these story ideas and allowing us to invent where we go with it and what we connect with as we progress through the story. That was neat.
Yeah.
I also liked your sort of refrain in the story that we keep coming back to. Big Bear, Little Chair. Okay, so here's my basis of comparison. My son is obsessed with this show, Gerald McBoing Boing, which is based on a Dr. Seuss book that, you know, I think the show now is perhaps off the air, but he finds it on Hulu or whatever. But in that show, between these vignettes of stories, it sort of keeps coming back to this reoccurring thing where it's guess the sound, and you can never quite predict. We know Gerald is going to make a sound. We don't know what is going to be the context. Anyway, in your story, you keep coming back to Bear and Chair, and we see these different settings that we do have Big Bear and Little Chair, but we also see, what is it, the Big Chair with Little Bear and a Big Bear and a Little Bear together. It just is, it's playfulness with the words. I enjoyed that you came back to those words, that it wasn't just spread after spread of different pairings, but there was sort of, I guess maybe the other reason I like it so much is because that phrase, Big Bear, Little Chair, is so playful. It sort of just rolls around in your mouth when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to keep not only considering what story we're telling with this picture, but also what ways we can manipulate the words to tell different stories. I really enjoyed that.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing how everyone responds to it it comes out.
Oh, yeah. I, as always, am looking forward to how kids will respond and make their own.
Yeah.
That's such a fun thing. And I really admire people like you that your work inspires children to want to play with story themselves and play with art and play with that visual storytelling as well. That is not something that every book lends itself to, but yours do consistently. And that tells me you just know what you're doing. You want them to be a part of it.
Yeah, and every child has such, I mean, Matthew, the workshops I have done with Flashlight and kids I should send you some of the, you can't believe it. It doesn't matter what age kid, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they all do incredible drawings.
Really? You know, that was something we were leading into when we last talked. So
unbelievable. I did, you know, the book won the Bologna Ragazzi Award, and I went to Italy and I did a workshop there at the book fair, the Bologna Book Fair.
Yes.
And I couldn't even speak, right? I mean, I can speak, but I couldn't speak Italian. So it was organized, but it was a little bit disorganized. And I grabbed this father and said, okay, just explain this and explain this. And then I decided to just make the animal sounds rather than even try to have him explain what I was saying.
Oh, my word.
So I had taken flashlights with me and I had taken silver Sharpies because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to find those in Italy. And they stole all of them because they aren't in Italy.
Because they're not in Italy. They are now until they run out.
Those kids were like, oh my gosh, do we love these? No, anyway, that was fine. And I brought a flashlight. So I had the father explain, this is a book about nighttime. Now I want everyone to close their eyes and imagine the night. And when you open your eyes, I want you to imagine that it's very dark and you only have a light. So when they open their eyes, I would be circling them with this flashlight. Kids drew spaceships, underwater, brains. They went everywhere. They didn't imitate me. They went everywhere. But what I consistently saw in all the workshops I did with these kids, and I went to the Aspen Art Museum and did a workshop with kids, and I've been everywhere, but is that the kids see the patterning and they've been imitating that, which is fascinating to me.
Really? I love the notion that you're bringing sound into this story too, especially in a place where here you are bringing this wordless picture book and you are in essence doing a wordless workshop.
Yeah.
How deeply that would speak to the child. And not only if you're there making these animal noises and building that, then imagine what the kids can bring to it too, because whatever they're creating, you can have these buzzing noises of UFOs and gurgling of underwater. And it just, the cacophony of sound created through this work inspired by a flashlight. That right there, that's where we talk about the way that, you know, your book goes out into the world, and the way that it just continues to give back is such a beautiful thing.
Well, I love that they just, I mean, I can't wait to start doing workshops with Big Bear, Little Chair.
Oh my goodness. So what is planned? How do you approach work? I'm sure you've given thought to it, but how do you approach Big Bear, Little Chair with these children? Does it start with talking about language? Does it start with just choosing objects to juxtapose?
I haven't done, I mean, the book doesn't come out till next week.
Right.
So I haven't done a workshop yet. But on my studio wall in New York and here, so it's been on my studio wall for 30 years, is a very small red ladder that I built 30 years ago. And I
really, for 30, why did you build a red ladder 30 years ago?
Well, 30 years ago, I was doing these big pastels in New York of buildings and ladders. And one day I just took some balsa wood and made a ladder and hung it next to the ceiling. And it survived all these years. And it's been in my studio here. And I was going to, I took it down today because, but no one came over today because I was going to have somebody take a picture of my big head with the little ladder.
Wait, that's perfect, because then you have a spread in the book that's big ladder, little turtle. But just flip it, big head, little ladder. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so who knows what influences what? Maybe you know what influences what, but you're taking this class. Why make the decision to go black and white and red? Did you think about this ladder? Was the ladder always in your subconscious, or did it just happen to be those are, I don't know, striking colors?
Well, no, there's striking colors. And the bear is so strong, and it needs to be black. And I love black and red. And yeah, I just wanted, I mean, I was making a little, so this was a, so that, the okay, so I didn't finish. So Victoria, my editor at Chronicle, said, I want you to do some board books. And I was like, oh, God, here we go again.
Oh no, has that been something you've been asked before?
I don't want to do that again. And then I went out to the bookstore and I started looking at board books. And I was like, oh, there's a reason I don't like to do these. And then after I met that little, you know, whippersnapper Savannah twirling around, I thought, oh, it doesn't have to be logical at all. So it doesn't have to be this linear storytelling about, you know, bear putting on pajamas and getting in bed. It can be, you know, bear standing on his head and then eating breakfast upside down. I mean, it could be anything you want. So then I made all these little dummies and sent them to my editor. And Big Bear Little Chair was one of them. And she said to me, when we had a meeting at ALA 2 springs ago, she said to me, this one is a picture book. And I said, it is. And she said, you just need a beginning and an end, and it's a picture book. And I went, oh, so simple. I just need a beginning and an end. So that that wasn't so simple. That wasn't so simple. There were several alliterations before it got to where it was. I mean, at one point, all of the animals in the book had books with them, because it was going to be ostensibly a book about reading books. So it was this whole layered thing. And then Victoria said, you know what? There are too many books about books. So let's get rid of the books. And it was like, okay, we'll get rid of the books.
So, you know, that was my entire beginning and end, right?
So there was a lot of circling around to find, I mean, all the, most of the imagery was there. A lot of the imagery was there. But, so it found its way. But it seems so simple, you know. But these things, are so much harder than they are simple.
You're right that it can't. I mean, there is a nice ending in it. And it still leaves it open enough to be whatever it is you're making. Go make these tiny stories everywhere. It's great. But to I was waiting. I'm waiting here for you to say, so they're going to do both a board book version and this picture book. And it just didn't go that way.
No, I haven't heard that yet.
No, you're right. To go from concepts, to go from playing with these images to finding bookends, if you will, to be the beginning and the end. That I can imagine that was something you had to wrestle with a little bit. It worked out. I mean, it worked out to the extent too that I never would have known that this wasn't conceptualized the way I'm holding it.
Well, I mean, it was in its tiny little dummy. It was always that size. I mean, it was always a tall, thin book. I mean, a tall, thin shape. But that's where a good editor is good. When they say, oh, well, this is a picture book. And you think, really? That's a picture book? That isn't what I was doing. A good editor knows how to mine you, how to get what they, how to push you further, how to expand you, that's why I love doing books too. I mean, it's very solitary, but it's also very collaborative.
When you get to that point where you emerge and you're able to share, you've seen then your work take on a different shape, right? Because you have it the way that it is to the point ready to be shared with someone. But then has it been easy for you to share it with your editor and know that it's now going to change and this is now part of the process? Is that something that you've been comfortable with? I mean, you've made books for a long time. Have you been comfortable with that the entire time, or did it take getting
there?
No.
In retrospect, I would say that with Victoria, I feel like I can say, no, this has to go. I mean, I feel like we really listen to each other, but I feel like she really understands me.
Okay.
I feel like some of my other books, I was not standing up for myself sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, Victoria's letting my wings really flap around.
So that's the mark of a good editor, that she's able to see.
Yeah.
She's able to know that there's a diamond in there. She's just helping you to mine it out, as opposed to trying to send you in a new direction digging.
Or saying those words don't make sense.
Yeah.
It was big zebra, little broom, what a mess. And there were a couple of little things like that initially. And I said, they have to go. And she said, I love them, though. I said, no, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I'm throwing those words out there. And she listened to me. You know what I mean? She said, I like it, though. I'm like, but I've only done it a few places. So I think it's better to let go of them.
Okay. And let it just be distilled down to the big, the little, the tiny, and that's it.
Yeah. And she didn't want tiny, by the way.
But it snuck in there in the end. Well, I guess it also tied into the ending of the book. That worked out.
Yeah, but she said, tiny, I don't know about tiny. I said, no, tiny is a good word. I mean, kids think of things as big, little, and tiny. And I said, and tiny can be spoken that way. Like, very tiny.
Oh, you must see that when you do workshops, too. I see that all the time in the library. When kids draw tiny, they are their hand is as close to the paper as it can get with their pencil, and they are barely making nudges to make a face as tiny as they can. You're absolutely right. That is a fully owned kid concept, drawing things tiny.
Yeah. And it's a sound bite. I mean, when you say to a kid, this wonderful art teacher that I did a workshop with, she's a good friend of mine, she's young, and I did this workshop with her kids for 3 days in a row. And when the kids, when the volume in the room would get louder and louder and louder, she would go, if you can hear me, touch your nose.
Right.
If you can hear me, touch your nose. And all these little heads would look around and look around and look around, and finally they'd put their fingers on their noses. It was good.
I love that teacher trick.
Yeah.
The not just the if you can hear me, put your hand on the whatever, but the other one where you have so much, the word is not control, but I suppose it is, the attention-grabbing ability of speaking in a hushed voice, the way that kids lean in, the way that they want to be close, and it's exciting. I mean, the tiny things, it's really exciting to draw that small, because you're compacting all of the energy into a little, portion of your paper.
Yeah.
That's fun. Well, I'm glad this is fun. I can't wait to hear about how these all these workshops go and the way that children present new things to you through Big Bear Little Chair. That'll be exciting, because to hear about Flashlight is just awesome. Did you keep any student samples or take photos that you can have?
I have tons of photos.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, so Lizzie,
the trick with kids always is really good materials, Matthew. I mean,
materials.
They don't have to cost a lot of money, but the fact that Sharpie makes silver magic markers.
I see what you mean.
Black paper, unbelievable. You can't even believe how cool it is.
It's the right selection of materials.
Yeah.
Man, I can attest to that. We just celebrated International Dot Day, right? Mm-hmm. And this year, for I don't know why it took me 6 or 7 years to get to this point, but I just bought Bingo Dabbers, and my word, I showed these kids a world that they did not know existed because they did not know Bingo Dabbers.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's just like, oh, I took for granted that we could have just done this in paint or marker, but man, those Bingo Dabbers are like magic to you. So you're right. I can see that a silver, as you're saying, the selection of the materials.
Well, so I order paper from Mohawk directly. And so it's a big sheet of paper. It's like 12 by 19.
That is a huge sheet of paper.
And it's heavy too. Like it's got some heft to it. It's not heavy, but it's like cover stock, right?
Yeah.
And then you cut a triangle of white. And you know what? They don't even need to cut those things. Learning to operate scissors. I'm left-handed. I hate scissors. they just need to get going. You know what I mean? Skip the scissor exercise.
But so you have this massive sheet of black paper.
Yeah.
You're cutting out the ray of the light from the flashlight.
Yeah.
And then just beyond that, just drawing with black Sharpie or silver Sharpie. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, that is striking.
Yeah.
And they have this like sturdy thing to take home that just takes up a presence in their room. That's
great.
And they
know about nighttime. They know about darkness.
Oh yeah.
It's great.
Well, and even the shimmery effect of a Sharpie, and also the way that parallels with the way moonlight, reflects off of just objects outside, that we can see things when we go outside. We're not blind when we go out in the dark. There is enough light to see things. That you are making me so excited right now to go and buy some materials.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Lizzie, what else do you have in the works? Do you have, obviously you have more stuff coming.
I don't have anything in 16. I have a book in 7. I have a book in 17 and a book in 18.
Are you publishing with Chronicle again?
Yeah. Two more books with them, and I have some other little projects going on. Not sure of those yet. But so the next book I think is called. It was called Night Play, but I think it's called Bravo Good Show.
Bravo Good Show. I like it.
Yeah, I think that's the next one.
Great.
Yeah, and then Bird Dreams is the one after that.
Oh, what great evocative titles. And are you continuing to play around with different ways of approaching the book and illustration?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm so excited for you. Oh, my word. I just can't wait. I remember when I last talked to you, there were images, I think, on your blog or something on your website that you said, oh, yeah, go look. And sure enough, it was not only just getting a chance to glimpse at your studio, but if I recall, it was actually Big Bear Little Chair laid out. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I seem to recall you telling me that, oh yeah, this stuff, you can't quite see it, but the papers that are laying out are the next book. I might be wrong.
Maybe.
Or maybe it was just flashlight. I don't remember.
Maybe it was crooked. No, I mean, I lay everything out. Now I'm getting savvy, and I know you're supposed to take pictures because everybody likes to see that.
Oh, pictures are so fun. I think all the time about getting those glimpses into the studio.
Studios,
like that's the best when we have author visits and they're just like, here's my space. And you get to see like Molly Idol has a ton of colored pencils everywhere, or with you to see it just all laid out everywhere. Things like that are just, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's
so
great.
Denise Fleming has got like a mess of amazingness everywhere because of the collage work and stuff she does. Yeah, just all of it. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
To see what it looks like to have what we have in our houses just expanded and gone massive and crazy in order to create beautiful works of art. And to me, it always, I always think of the children thinking like, no, you have a space like this in your house now. And this could grow into something so much more. If you just, the more you're interested in it, just keep it growing.
Yeah.
And one day you'll be like Lizzie Boyd and just have all of your amazing art just laid out everywhere on long, long tables. Oh, Lizzie, it is so awesome to get to talk to you. I can't believe we're at the end of our time, but I can believe it because there's just always so much to share with you.
Well, it was great to talk to you.
You've been, well, thank you. That's very sweet of you. You've been all around the world. You've had, you know, rollicking adventures in the past 2 years or whatever since I've talked to you. I'm going to bring this kickball question up to you. I know you know it's coming, but I can't wait to see where the path is taking you since I've last talked. So I am, as I continue to do, assembling an all-star kid-lit dream team kickball tournament, and I would love to know what one more person you would want on your team, alive or past, from the kid-lit world, and why.
I want Edward Lear on my team.
Oh, such a good choice. Why? Why for you, Edward Lear?
Well, because of last night's moon.
Right?
Right?
Yes. Good call. Good call.
Okay.
I love that a reason can just be that, and all of us, hopefully everyone listening is going through that same experience that I'm doing, where I'm just nodding. You can't see it, but I'm just nodding at you and smiling.
And the colored birds. I mean, Edward Lear, he was great.
Yeah, he was amazing. He's one of those really wonderful ones to bring children to now.
Yeah.
And see, this is a person that is, you know, is no longer creating, is no longer with us, but look at what exists in history that your parents or your parents' parents grew up on, and know that this is amazing work and that it continues to inspire the stuff that you love now. Edward Lear, man, what a good name. I don't think that name's ever been brought up on here. What a good one. Lizzie, you continue to impress and entertain and enchant as always. Thank you so much for coming on, and congratulations with Big Bear Little Chair and just everything else you have in the works and the way you're going all around the world connecting with our children and inspiring them too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matthew, and congratulations on Julia.
Oh, thank you.
I love that you have two little peas in your pod now.
I love that I have two little peas that I get to read to and talk about and just continue to inform every wonderful, passionate thing that I'm doing. Let's Get Busy is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winter, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. And by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the books at allthewonders.com. Our theme music is by Blue Ducks. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, there are a ton of great episodes of Let's Get Busy archived and waiting for you at lgbpodcast.blogspot.com. And if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on the blog or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that is a very good thing indeed. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.